Well, it's another grand and fine morning out there. Today is August 31st, 2021. And welcome to the Shadron Berean Church podcast. I'm Pastor Justin, and I have another devotional for us today. This one's called, Can We Trust the Bible? While I was in language school in Santiago, Chile, I met another young man there from the United States, from California, who seemed curious about the gospel and what I believed, being how I would give my whole life to make it known that I would leave just for that, leave the United States to go and share the gospel. And I was able to share a lot of truth with this young man, and he seemed really receptive, a little open, but the conversation I had with him eventually ended with him saying, yeah, but I still think there are some translation issues with the Bible. And this was a bit of a balloon-popping moment for me and a wake-up call as to how important it is to trust the inspired scriptures that we hold in our hands. And having come across a bracketed passage in Mark this week, a longer bracketed passage, I thought I would remind us of many reasons why we can trust the Bible in this week's Devo. I want us to have a knowledgeable trust in God's Word and not just a blind trust. In his book, The Battle for the Bible, Harold Lindzell rightly identifies biblical trust as a watershed issue. And what he means is that just as which side of the continental divide rain falls on determines whether or not it's going to end up eventually in the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, so whether or not one believes the Bible is the Word of God, or whether one trusts the Bible, is going to determine whether one might end up in apostasy and unbelief, or truth and belief, which ultimately determines destinies, right? That's what led to the downfall of the European church. It was higher criticism that entered in with the JEDP theory and that sort of thing. And that's how Europe ended up where it's at. This is also where our fundamentalism movement came from. It's taking a stand on God's word, and you might have heard it said, we typically choose what we trust. We choose what we trust. If you believe the Bible is God's word, you're more likely to study it, and you're more likely to be made wise unto salvation. But if you don't believe it's God's word, you're not likely to study it or apply it or any of that. So anyway, since almost the beginning of time, Genesis chapter 3, Satan has been trying to get man to discredit God's word, or he's been trying to discredit God's word, trying to get man to doubt it, and he's been distorting the word of God just like he did with Eve. And it's interesting that the Bible actually ends with this warning not to add to the word of God in the end of Revelation. You know, don't add to the word of God. It's like a capstone which says, remember, that's what got you into this mess in the first place. But to question God's word is not the same as to doubt. Today we're going to question it a little bit. I think the young man was doubting God's word, but he didn't sincerely question it. It is fair to question it. I think we should question it. Why can we say that we can trust God's word? Why can we say that this Bible that we hold in our hands is actually his word? Personally, that's something I really enjoyed studying in Bible school and that sort of thing, and just reading books on it. And doing so has only strengthened actually my conviction that the Bible is indeed the Word of God and that it can be trusted. And there's many reasons why that I want to give us. Why we can trust God's Word is the Bible. Why the Bible is God's Word. It's a book, number one, that claims to be the Word of God over and over and over again. And it can back it up. It can back it up. It has endurance like no other book. Endurance. Even Jesus alluded to that when he said not a jot or a tittle was going to be missing when it's all said and done. Not the dotting of an I or the crossing of a T. It is a living, animated book. Hebrews 4:12 says it cuts to the core of our deepest recesses of our being. It cuts to the heart. and it changes us. It's a unique book. There's no other book like this in the world. It's the best-selling book in the world. It has wonderful knowledge from eternity past to eternity future, a comprehensive, wonderful knowledge that you can't get anywhere else and that lines up with reality. It makes sense. It fits the reality of this world like a hand fits a glove. There's no other knowledge out there like the Bible gives us that lines up with reality like it does. And it has the highest logical morals and ethics in the world that if humanity just applies, will allow mankind to flourish. And despite having over 40 authors written over the course of 1,400 years, it has continuity, consistency, and one main central theme. The Old Testament says Jesus is coming, the Gospels say Jesus is here, and the New Testament says Jesus has come, and he's coming again. It's amazing. 40 different authors, 1,400 years, and yet one main central theme, and there's just a continuity and consistency there that you cannot get from, I think, just a couple of people writing one book together today. And anyway, the literary excellence of the Bible, that is also unmatched in all of its genres. The literary excellence is mind-blowing to me. That's something I've been blown away by just reading and studying and preaching through the Gospel of Mark recently. This is more than just a random collection of stories. This is, it's put together incredibly... just in such an incredible way. It's such an incredible narrative, the way Mark would sandwich all of these different events and miracles together. And if you've been with us through Mark, you know how amazing it has been. It also gives us fresh insight. You can study this book over the course of a lifetime, and it's still giving you fresh insight. I mean, the same old passages can give you new insight just year after year after year after year. It never grows old in that sense, and it has life-changing power. This book will change lives, and I'm a witness to that. I'm a witness to that. Archaeology, then. Archaeology has only proven the Bible true, and this is important. Even secular archaeologists will use the Bible to know where to dig. Lindzel said this: the spades of 1,000 diggers over the centuries have not discredited the truth of Scripture, nor has the overturned earth proven the Bible to be untrue. The spades of 1,000 diggers. Science and philosophy have changed their minds countless times. While the Bible has stayed the same, and it's been proven true. When Greeks taught that the world rested on Atlas's back, and the Hindus taught that the world rested on four elephants riding on a giant cosmic sea turtle, the Bible said God hangs the earth on nothing. Remember, this was before satellites and telescopes and all that. The Bible says God hangs the earth on nothing. He said that in the oldest book that we have, in the book of Job. And it's never lost its integrity through such a mythical claim like four elephants on a cosmic sea turtle or Atlas's back. I mean, the Bible's never made a mythical claim like that, like many other ancient books have. So it's always kept its integrity, even though science has advanced so much the way it has. Most of it, you've got to think about this, was also compiled by eyewitness accounts. Eyewitness accounts, many of which were martyred for their faith. They gave their lives for it. Some say that's that's one of the greatest evidences for the resurrection itself. It's the fact that these men, these cowering men who are hiding out, become these powerful witnesses who give their lives for what they saw and what they heard. And then this is another big one. One third of the Bible is detailed prophecy. Detailed prophecy, not tarot cards, not fortune cookies from the Chinese restaurant type of prophecy. This is detailed prophecy. All that was supposed to become come true by now has come true. And it's pretty amazing, the detailed prophecy. Next, and I wish I could spend more time on that, but next, the reliability of the manuscripts. Think about the reliability of the manuscripts. The New Testament has the most manuscript copies of any other ancient writing at approximately 25,000 to date. And that dwarfs, absolutely dwarfs, the number of any other ancient writing. Homer's Iliad is next. It has the second most at approximately 1,800 these days. 1,800. Demosthenes at 258. Gallic Wars by Caesar has 10. Herodotus has 8. Thucydides has 8. I mean, the vast number of New Testament manuscripts just dwarfs any other ancient writing. And yet, it's interesting how we trust those other ancient writings. But the New Testament is often challenged. See, here's why the number of manuscript copies is important, because the vast number of biblical manuscripts allows textual critics to determine the exact words of the original author despite minor manuscript variants. If there's a variant in there, it's usually something grammatical, or it's punctuative, it's punctuation. It's a misspelling or something. It has no effect on the faith or substance of what is being taught. A.T. Robertson said this: "The vast array of manuscripts has enabled textual scholars to accurately reconstruct the original text with more than 99.9% accuracy." And the recent discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls really affirmed the superior accuracy of the Bible, especially even the Old Testament. Then we have the transmission precision. How precise were the scribes when they were transmitting the text of the Bible, when they were recording it, copying it? Because Hebrews and Christians believed they were copying God's word, scribes transmitted with extraordinary care. They treated God's word differently than they would treat some sort of secular writing. Sometimes they would do it one letter at a time with a bath in between. So they write a letter, go take a bath out of reverence, and go and write a letter and take another bath. It was a little over the top for me. But lastly, think about the time gap interval between the original autograph and the manuscript copy. The shorter the gap between the original and the copy, the better. The closest time gap for the Iliad is about 350 to 400 years. So from the original to the next copy, it's about 350 to 400 years. Gallic Wars, Herodotus, and all those other ones, they're all at approximately 1,000 to 1,300 years apart. 1,000 to 1,300 years apart. That's how far the time gap is. You really don't have much of a guarantee there that, but I don't know what the original author said and as few manuscript copies as they have. But the earliest New Testament fragment, the John Rylands, is between 27 to 48 years from the original. Just 27 to 48 years. Many other of the New Testament Greek manuscripts are between 100 to 150 years from the original. And the Codex Sinaiticus, Codex Vaticanus, some of the well-trusted ones are about 250 years. There's a 250-year time interval between. And so, again, it just there's no question. These are the most reliable manuscripts on the face of the planet. Dr. Norman Geisler writes, "The New Testament documents are copied accurately. The New Testament has more manuscripts, earlier manuscripts, and more accurately copied manuscripts than any other ancient book, and than any other book from the ancient world. More manuscripts, earlier manuscripts, and more accurately copied manuscripts than any other book from the ancient world." So having gave all of these proofs, just summarized all of these proofs a little bit, I think as you can see, like the young man from my language school in Santiago, Chile, most people tend to give the credibility of the Bible too little thought. In reality, these are the most trusted documents in the ancient world. And so let's receive the Word of God like the Thessalonians did. Paul said they accepted it, not as the word of men, but what it actually is, the Word of God, which also does its work in you who believe. It really is a God-breathed book.